Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is May 13th, 2024. I am joined by Denise Salcedo here for the Fightful WWE Raw post show. Lots of King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring movement here. We want to hear what you think. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave a comment after the video. We're interacting with you here in the comments as well. If you want your question or statement read on the air, donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful or over at humperchats.com, HUMPER chats.com. We have a large viewer base on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it, or Twitch. And you can leave your comments, statements along the way. We want to interact with you guys as much as possible. I'm interacting with you guys all the time over on the Fightful Select Discord. I'll tell you more about FightfulSelect.com. later on. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here. Another week, another exciting episode of Raw. It flew by today, so that's always a win. Feeling good.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of focus on King of the Ring. They are, at least during this period, saying this means something, and here's the match quality to tell you that it means something. They did move a whole lot of the matches to the weekend live events. Now, I don't have the problem with it that a lot of other people had with it. I do wish that Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio would have been on Raw last week. But for some of these, I'm like, okay, that's a drawing point for the live events. And honestly, at some point, I think there would have been maybe too many King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring matches on TV. So I didn't mind it as much. How'd you feel about it?
But see, that's the point though. We're watching right now. We're watching the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. So I do, there are some matches where I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and be like, oh, I really wanted to see that. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I wanted to see each and every single matchup, but it does take me out of it a little bit when I have to go on social media and find out who it is that's winning, who it is that advances. But for the most part, I think it's been pretty predictable. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of people that were replaced and a couple of last minute changes. So that did sort of throw me for a loop, because if you're not keeping up to date with it, you might have sort of just missed it and then you just forgot. And then all of a sudden you tune into the show and you're like, oh, okay, this is where I'm at. As long as your faves and the core people that you were rooting for are still in the tournament, then it's all good. Everything else is just like whatever. But now we're so far into the tournament now where it's not that big of a deal anymore. And we're going to be getting, from the looks of it, we only have a couple matches left, so we're going to be getting the rest of them on TV. So it didn't, even though it was a little annoying, it wasn't too bad.
We have a nice super chat from Flame Inc. Very generous one. I want to give some time to. Says, I have some complaints with WWE. Asuka is one of their best wrestlers ever. Won everything a female can do, minus Queen of the Ring, but she's 0-6 at Mania. Always the one losing to the next big star, treated like a jobber. Why? Well, Flame Inc, I got to disagree with you with the always treated like a jobber. That is not what a jobber is. There are a whole lot of people that misconstrue that term. A person who has went on a multi-year undefeated streak, who has won a Royal Rumble, has title matches at WrestleMania, has won about every championship possible, tag team titles, Money in the Bank. Jobbers don't win things like that. So I disagree with you there. Now, I can't explain why WWE has had her lose all of her WrestleMania matches, but I think that needs to be a story. I think there's a babyface element that can happen there, and somebody can even say that, oh, like I could imagine a Tiffany Stratton getting some really good heat on Asuka being like, you've done everything, yada, yada. You can't win at Mania. You're not going to beat me at Mania either. I think there's a real possibility for that. But what are your thoughts on Asuka and her, the way that she's been featured? I don't know if it's specifically at WrestleMania, because she did just lose the tag team titles. Unfortunately, she's sidelined right now.
Right. So she definitely hasn't been treated like a jobber, but I was actually just having this conversation earlier today and sort of echoing some of those sentiments that the viewer just sent about Asuka. And that is that it's not that she's treated like a jobber. She's just not presented in the same light that you see Becky Lynch presented in and Charlotte Flair and Bayley and all these other women. They're sort of presented a little bit differently. And it's almost like in tears, right? Because you can also make the same argument that Bayley isn't presented the exact same way. That was a huge conversation surrounding WrestleMania, given that she was one of the biggest matches of the night for a title and Royal Rumble winner. And she wasn't even at the WrestleMania kickoff party. And instead, you were promoting a match that hadn't even happened just yet, like wasn't even made official. And so there is this sort of, you can tell who WWE really wants to push a certain way. And I don't know, again, why certain people are pushed a little bit better than others. I mean, of course, there's a bunch of different reasons, right? Some people are better wrestlers. Some people are just bigger stars, bigger promos, whatever. Everyone's different case scenario. For Asuka, she is a phenomenal wrestler, but I almost feel like WWE feels like they can't market her the exact same way that they would market like a Bayley, for example. And that kind of sucks. That sucks because I think the fans, especially a lot of the people that have seen Asuka's work, they respect her work and they just want somebody who's a good wrestler to get that opportunity. The other way, the other times that I've noticed it in particular with Asuka were her championship reigns. I mean, how many times, or at least there was, when was it? The last time that she was champion on, when she was on the Raw brand, I remember that she was champion, yet we never actually really saw her. She was sort of just casted off to the sidelines, didn't even have a major story. And it was almost like she wasn't even champion. And that was really unfortunate because, again, you don't want to see your champions be treated that way. So not only is she always constantly losing at WrestleMania, but yet giving people some really awesome matches, but her reign as champions the last few times is just didn't hit as hard because they didn't really do much. And I remember talking about that then when you and I were doing the Raw post show and, you know, nothing changed. And that's the unfortunate part, because when you do that to somebody, again, now you know what to expect. You know to expect a good match from Asuka always, but you know never to expect anything more because that's what they've trained you to. Your expectations have essentially been trained by WWE.
Zodi says, excited to see a lot of focus on the in-ring action with the tournaments. Do you think WWE sees that the fans love it and put more wrestling on weekly TV? Well, it's definitely something that Triple H prefers. Triple H likes an in-ring focused product. I am morbidly interested to see a lot of like the tribalistic fans come to grips with the fact that a lot of this stuff is similar to the thing that I've seen people criticize AEW for. They're pushing smaller wrestlers. They're focusing more on in-ring stuff. The stakes are in the ring as well. Like the motivation of the last 2 weeks has been largely these guys want to win this tournament. These girls want to win this tournament. And I think that's important because I've said this about the Andre Battle Royal, about King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring. It is as important as you tell us it is, because if you do it, and then you're just like, well, it doesn't matter afterwards, or the wrestlers completely disregard it. I'll give you an example. The 24/7 title. It was very clearly a sideshow because wrestlers would just ignore it the whole time. Like with the hardcore title, like The Undertaker and Rob Van Dam and a lot of like top people won that thing. So it was pretty quickly treated as a joke. King of the Ring is not being treated as a joke. It's being treated as something very important. And the crowd is responding to it, which is something that I'm very happy about, Denise.
I think the presentation of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring this year has been way better than what we saw the last time. Because the last time it was just not anything good. The women had very, very short matches. And it just didn't feel like the... It didn't really feel like the seriousness was there, like the importance, the credibility of being king or queen of the ring was there in the last time that they had the tournament. But this year, I mean, come on, like we're out here seeing these moments. We could have seen Gunther versus Ilya, like that was an option on the table. The people on the live events got to see Kofi Kingston and Rey Mysterio. And there's so many other matchups. We're going to see this Friday, Nia Jax and Jade Cargill, which is going to be interesting just because of the Royal Rumble moment, how they've been booking Jade Cargill, how they've been booking Nia Jax. So it's little things like that that have already made and amplified this tournament so much better than what we've seen in the last couple of years. So I'm a fan of what they've been doing this year.
Pavement Cut Your Hair says, does WBPC still do the Act Like a Lady beauty class? I had completely forgotten about that. I forgot that we had even reported on that. I don't know if feel like it was a one-off type of thing.
Just them learning how to like be beautiful?
I think they brought in a fashion consultant because I got sent some of the stuff from it, if you remember.
And what was the take? Because I don't really remember. What was the takeaway from the roster? Did they like that?
There were some of them that liked it for a specific reason, because if you remember, I don't know exactly when, but there was a point where if you were on WWE TV, you were coming out there, whether you were cutting a promo or wrestling or doing anything, and you were in your gear and your merch shirt, nothing else. And you look at how like Jade Cargill, Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, so many of these people dress now, and you're like, oh, wait, this is what a superstar dresses like. And you see more of that. I believe some of the people I talked to were kind of excited because they were like, well, at least they want us to do something like that. But there were some women at the time that were like, this feels like a little hint, dress this way type of thing that they didn't necessarily jive with.
Right, because it really depends on how you look at it and how something like that is presented. Because again, for example, you could be that sporty type of girl, but still be like, you know, cute and fun and still look like a star even though you're sporty, right? But then there's another direction that sometimes people want you to dress in, which is more like voluptuous and showing off your body a lot more, and not a lot of women are comfortable with that. So it depends on your style, it depends on how you see it and how you take it. But I remember Becky Lynch in her book, which I know you read, Sean, she talked a lot about that. Like she talked about always having to buy that fancy, pretty dress to wear at NXT because that's what you had to do. You had to wear a pretty dress. She talked about how Sasha Banks was the one that basically taught her how to change up her look so that she could be presented more as a star. So I think there's a difference between teaching someone how to look like a star and then telling someone, well, you need to dress a lot sexier, you need to show more skin, because I don't think you need to do those things to look like a star.
Jonathan Corona says, let's say NBC is getting the NBA TV rights. What do you think will happen with AEW TV with Turner since they had layoffs not so long ago? Well, listen, it's so weird whenever I see somebody acting like that would be a negative for AEW. I don't think it would be a negative for AEW at all for WBD to no longer be shelling out all that money for also two premium nights. Now, it wouldn't be good for WBD because they're losing one of their biggest shows. NBA on TNT is a big deal, but that opens up Thursday nights. And I guarantee you, AEW wishes that they had a 3-hour block of Collision and Rampage on Thursday, as opposed to the 1 hour on Friday, 2 hours on Saturday with those death slots. I guarantee it. And also, that's more money to spread around to AEW. That would be WBD looking to retain some key programming, unless they just decided to go in some completely different direction, which would be surprising to me. I think it would be good for AEW, but not necessarily great for WBD. Jonathan Corona says, do you guys like WWE doing pay-per-views on Sundays? Like Dana White said, do you think we'll see pay-per-views back on Sunday from WWE? What do you guys want to see on the Mania Vegas set. Well, I'm excited that Vegas is doing Mania. After the last trip to Vegas, I changed my mind on it. It was so easy to get around, do everything there. But, you know, just something, you know, they got to go.
Giant dice. How about that? Giant dice on the stage. Yeah. There you go. And then it'll be kind of cool because it's in 3D and you're like, oh, I don't know. I've been really obsessed with dice the last like 2 days. I don't know why.
Dana White can take that Sunday talk and get the hell out of here. I don't want pay-per-views back on Sundays. I don't like it. I like Saturdays. I like Saturday afternoons too. I really like that.
I don't care. It doesn't make a difference for me.
It really doesn't. I prefer Saturdays. Yeah.
I think Saturdays makes it feel like a bigger deal because Saturdays is like, ooh, that's the fun day, right? Like that's the day you go out and you do something. If you're willing to stay home to watch a show on a Saturday, that's because it's a big deal. But I think for me, it really makes no difference.
Jonathan Crone also says, Sean wanted to ask you this, when is Punk's contract up? Well, that I don't know. And I know that you mentioned multi-year deal. It's hard to say. It's especially hard to say because I don't know if injury time was factored into that because, you know, CM Punk got hurt. But also, you couldn't realistically, unless there was a provision saying in-ring time missed, you couldn't realistically add a lot of this time to CM Punk's deal because that man is still working. He's been going to NXT and doing stuff here and there. He's appeared on TV. He's done a lot of stuff. He's done dark segments. Like when Cody's deal had injury time or whatever, they couldn't really add it because he was doing stuff for WWE during that period. He also says when Raw goes to Netflix, is it going to be TV-14 or TV-PG? It doesn't really matter. On Netflix, they will sell ads as they see fit. If Netflix wants an edgier show, that's what WWE will likely give them. But I want to say this again. TV-PG and TV-14, it is not like video games where things are rated E for everyone, T for teen, M for mature, and you got to be a certain age to purchase those. Or the Motion Picture Association of America with rated PG, PG-13, and rated R, and those being strictly enforced. Those aren't the same. It's ultimately at the advertiser's discretion, and you can put whatever on a TV PG show you want. You're just gonna have to answer to your sponsors in that regard. Speaking of, we have a rated R sponsor. It's Blue Chew.
You know, Fightful and Blue Chew have been at it a long time. Maybe you've been at it a long time. Maybe you're lacking that motivation. Maybe you're lacking that confidence. You don't think you have what you once had. Blue Chew is here to get you there. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. You'll get your first shipment free of what? Well, it's a chewable tablet that has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so it gets your performance ready to go. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door. You do an online consultation, and if approved, you'll be back to that main event level performance. Sometimes it's not even about performance. It's about that confidence. And Blue Chew is going to make sure that you have that. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. What is there to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Check him out, guys. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Dan Hurley in the tourney says, SRS wanted to show you some support and get your thoughts on Meltzer saying, if WWE likes you, then you aren't doing a good enough job. So I emailed Dave. I talked to him about this. I talked about this at length on the Backstage Report podcast, so I encourage you guys to check that out. He said some very complimentary things last week, but what I took issue with was him saying, oh, well, I wouldn't have posted the cheese thing because he was trying to show people that WWE liked him. And I was like, well, that's bullshit. That's not why I did it. I did it because they fucked up and they were willing to admit that they fucked up. And that was really the extent of it. And because Denise, I know you saw the reaction too. Lots of people were being horrible about it.
And a lot of people thought it was fake, the letter.
I know, right? And Mike Johnson got one too.
Did he post his?
He didn't. And that's his prerogative. I'm not going to share what his said. We conferred with each other and all that stuff. But he got one as well. And also, I mean, when I said, you know, WWE and Triple H called me, people were like, liar. And I'm like, what makes you think that one, I would lie about that? And two, if I did lie about that, that one, they would send me that note or even, you know, the token of apology or credential Fightful ever again, like ever again. It wouldn't happen. So I did kind of want to rub it in those people's faces too, because I'm petty and that makes me very happy.
Really? I had no idea, yes. Sean.
But like Denise, gosh, no, this is about a year before you joined us. Like WWE threatened to sue us at one point. Like I don't give a shit if WWE likes us or anything like that. It doesn't affect me. It was either way.
When I first started with Fightful, your relationship with WWE was very different because I remember I was like a month in with Fightful and I already had that freaking Hell in a Cell watch along appearance booked. And then when they found out that I was with Fightful, I got an email basically saying, hey, we didn't realize you were with Fightful. And I was like, I just started. And I basically had to tell them, like, I'm just an on-screen personality in order so that I could still do my appearance that I had already booked beforehand. And so their relationship was definitely different in terms of how it was viewed back then when, you know, several years, what is it, 2019, 2018, 2018, 2019, yeah. Somewhere around there.
I mean, I've reported on COVID breakouts and sexual misconduct, sexual abuse, all those things, the sex trafficking case. To me, you don't have to have an adversarial or friendly relationship with any company to be able to do your job. And that was another thing. And I mentioned this to Dave directly. I'm not saying anything that I didn't say to him in an email. He said that besides he, Pollock and Thurston, everybody kind of forgot about the Vince story. And I was like, well, hold on. Pollock and Thurston are doing all the original reporting on that. And to be quite frank, they're better at it than everybody. And there's no shame in admitting that those two are better at it than everybody else because they are. However, we've done now 36 stories over the last 2 months on that specific thing. So no, it has not been ignored by anybody. It hasn't been forgotten, but our audience dictates that we cover other things. Sometimes we cover positive things. Sometimes we cover negative things. That's the nature of it. I like Dave just fine, but I did take issue with that. I messaged him accordingly and that's that. I mean, it'll move on and that will be pretty much that. I don't expect to hear back from him on it, but no, I did not post that because I wanted people to think that WWE likes me because it's very clear Triple H doesn't like us or wrestling media. I don't think that's a secret or anything. And it was an effort on WWE and probably Nick Khan and PR's behalf to probably try to smooth things over. Do I believe it? You know, I'll sort of put a TBD on that, but you know,
I actually kind of saw it as a joke because you were the one that had tweeted in the first place, hey, if you guys really want my forgiveness or whatever, send me some French cheese. I was even going to make a joke and be like, really, Sean, you couldn't ask for some French macaroons for your fellow co-host? I would have loved some French macaroons, Sean.
So for those that don't know the reference, there is a big dumb bitch named Alfred Conowa who got a cheese plate once and says horrible things about people all the time, makes things up about people. And WWE feeds him Fast Nationals. They did that for me one time, like a few years ago. And then after week two, I was like, hey, I kind of see what's going on here. I ain't doing this shit. And they've never done anything like that again. But if you want to, he got like a cheese plate charcuterie board thing and people pick on him for it. Deservedly so. He's just a terrible guy. But that's why I was like, I want all the finest French cheeses sent to me. That's what I want. And I'll be damned they did it.
Right. I saw it almost as a little bit, of, not like a rib, but I just saw it as like a tongue-in-cheek joke. Like, oh, you tweeted this. Well, guess what? We actually went through with it. So, ha-ha.
There were so many people that said, oh, no, that was Triple H saying, do you want some cheese with your wine? I'm like, yeah, it wasn't specifically French cheese sent to me because I tweeted that or anything. Not at all, guys. You big-brained us all. You put your tinfoil hat on. You got enough reception with that thing that you figured it out. Good job. But if you guys want me to hear me speak at length for some ungodly reason about that, I did on the Fightful Select backstage report. Mr. Santy Zap says, the transition to the Blue Chew ad, masterful. You know what? The transition to this ratio is masterful. Terry Allen Jr. says, Denise, style of wrestling connects at you. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I don't know either, actually. But I was going to say, never mind. I was going to make a joke about the cheese thing, but you know what? The moment passed.
Edwin says, can and should WWE send an offer to Ethan Page? Ethan Page versus Sami Zayn, Logan Paul, and more. Yeah, I think they should make an offer to Ethan Page. I think he would be really, really great in WWE. He gets it. He's worked TV a little bit of everywhere.
Yeah. I feel bad. I think for Ethan Page, a lot of it, the things that didn't work out for him in AEW had a lot to do with timing of when he came into AEW and how many more people followed that came in right afterwards. So it's like he came in, he had this little moment, and you know, that was it. It quickly came and went with the wind, because then after that, you started to see more people come in to AEW. And at that point, when we were going through this part where you just had a bunch of people trying to claw and trying to get to the top. And so, unfortunately, it was just bad timing, I think, for Ethan Page, which is unfortunate.
Pup Cup says, could we just talk about Raw for the love of God? Yeah, I guess we can.
I wanted to talk about the cheese. That's my favorite subject.
I'm over the cheese. Drew McIntyre comes out, cuts a promo, but is interrupted by Damian Priest. And Damian Priest cut one of his best promos that I think he has ever done. Man, it was good. He just laid out how Drew McIntyre screwed himself in this whole situation. He goes, you know what, man? I wanted to cash in on Rollins, and you stopped me. He's like, and then what you did was told me, if you were smart, you'd wait till I beat Seth Rollins, then cash in on me. He goes, so then I did. And guess what you had to do? All you had to do was leave. Get your wife, get the hell out of there. But then you saw CM Punk, and you couldn't help yourself. And what you showed was that CM Punk was more important than WrestleMania, the title belt, and your own wife. And then Priest said, you want a title shot? I'll give you one. I don't really care. Holy cow. This was fire from Damian Priest, didn't
it? It was fire from both sides. I think that, first of all, I'm gonna circle back to Drew McIntyre, but I'll start off with Damian Priest. I think Damian needed this, Sean. He really, really needed this moment, because a lot of the attention hasn't been on him, even though he is the champion. There hasn't been any attention on him as the way that a champion should be, or that he should have. And so this was the first time where I actually felt like, okay, you know what? I can get behind Damian Priest right now in this moment, because he had some really good little shots that he threw at Drew McIntyre. And now as for Drew McIntyre, I'm curious, and maybe you can find this out. I'm curious as to how much input he has in what he says in terms of like the creative process and all of this, because when I'm listening to the things that Drew McIntyre is saying, I'm thinking, oh my God, who's going around and doing all the research on the freaking deep dark web of the IWC? Who's going in and reading what all the people are saying and the trolls or whoever, and then incorporating it into the promo of Drew McIntyre? I like to, in my head, visualize that this is Drew on Twitter going, ha ha ha, I'm going to use that next. I don't know how it works, but Drew going out there and saying the things that he said, the ones, the shots that you threw at CM Punk, first of all, the one about saying that he's never done drugs yet he looks like a drug addict. Terrible, but hilarious. And I don't think that's the first time he said it. I'm pretty sure I've heard either Drew McIntyre or somebody else say that to CM Punk in the past before, maybe even Seth Rollins. I don't remember.
And MJF did.
MJF, thank you. I knew someone had said that to him, but it was still pretty funny. And so that, the part where he said he was going to have to wait like 20 years for him to ever get cleared because he's injury prone, all of that good stuff, man, I loved that. But then when he went and told Damian Priest that he was a paper champion, I thought, damn, how is Damian Priest going to bounce back from that? And then he did. And so I just personally thought they did a really good job of, one, presenting Damian Priest, him handling himself as a champion the way a champion should, and Drew McIntyre sort of segueing, or rather morphing, this whole feud with CM Punk, also with Damian Priest, because he was the one who cashed in on him. All of it. The part where he mentioned his wife, you don't go there, man. You don't mention someone's wife. That was good.
This was a world champion promo. It was a main event level promo. They killed it. They both killed it. Also, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Please go subscribe. We had exclusive news on Drew McIntyre's deal after it was reported that he signed. We broke down what the details of the deal, but also today we revealed Damian Priest's deal was actually signed back in February under the previous talent relations guy. However, Denise, there were like 2 days before it expired. So this guy was running around with a Money in the Bank briefcase, and his deal was coming up imminently. Does that surprise you that it got so close?
Yes, especially because now with the merger of Endeavor, I just feel like there should be a lot of people. I mean, there's a million people that work for WWE, right? Like there's a bunch of people back there. I just feel like now with Vince gone, with everything changing, I would imagine that it would be a little bit, hopefully, more organized in the sense where it's like, hey, this person's contract is coming up in X amount of time. Maybe by the time we get into this window frame, we're starting to talk. I just feel like 2 days, it's just too close to the wire. Like you're cutting it too close. So for me, it was a little bit surprising because I was thinking that, again, with all of these people there, that someone would say, hey, let's sort of get this done in a reasonable amount of time that is respectful and is going to protect the company and protect the wrestler as well.
And I have a hunch that's probably why there was the big shakeup in talent relations, because even as things stand, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business this week, reported that Becky Lynch still does not have a new deal, which she confirmed a few hours later at Sami Zayn's comedy show. 3 weeks away. And there are people that are like, well, obviously she's re-signed. She's got the belt. Well, guess what happens before that contract is up, guys? She's got a world title match against Liv Morgan. Kim Gray says Lillian and Truth have found the fountain of youth. It was so good to see Lillian. We'll be talking about her shortly.
I feel a lot of these people that we used to see back in the day found the fountain of youth. I mean, look at Tori Wilson, Trish Stratus. I look at them and I'm like, what did you do? Please tell me everything you did. I'm going to write it down.
Matthew says, I think this crowd made it official. Americans aren't allowed to have live events anymore. I thought the crowd was okay for this show.
It was because when Drew McIntyre, he did the exact same thing Dakota Kai did a couple weeks ago, where she said, I forgot what she said, but it was basically the crowd. So today, Drew McIntyre said, if Damian Priest is a BS champion, say what? And the crowd said what?
Say what? Yeah.
Yeah. And so the crowd sort of fell for it again, you know?
I'm going to ask our moderator, Luis, to consolidate the American or the Alpha Academy segments. But we had Io Sky defeating Shayna Baszler in the King of the Ring quarterfinal. I just love the finish of this because they set it up to where Baszler had the Kira Fuda clutch on Io Sky. And I went, oh my God, are they going to do like a major upset here? It sold me a ticket. I got on this. And then Io Sky turned it around. She cut a little promo in Japanese afterwards, which would have never happened under Vince like it happens today. Like with Nakamura doing it, with Io Sky doing it, there was no need for translation. We sort of got it, even though we couldn't understand it. Io Sky gets the win here. I thought this was a really fun match, and it presented Shayna Baszler as a threat.
I loved how dominant Shayna was looking throughout this, but the ending, the reversal, oh my God, that was so freaking good. And it's stuff like this that is really going to be memorable at the end of the day when you look back at this Queen of the Ring tournament. It's matches like this that, again, you don't see every single day. They got a good amount of time. They both looked great. I did not know who was winning this, by the way, because they're, you know, these are both two people that I feel that they sort it comes and goes, right? Their push comes and goes in certain moments. And so this one for me was a toss up. I really had no idea who they were going to go with. The fact that they went with Io Sky, I loved that they went with Io. And so this is one where I feel like Io wasn't necessarily the person that I was expecting to make it all the way through. But now looking at this, I have a feeling the way that the bracket is shaping up, I have a feeling it may be Io Sky and Jade Cargill. That's what I'm thinking right now, just based off of the bracket that we've seen.
Kiana James meets with Pierce and Awesome Truth backstage. R-Truth doesn't know the meaning of words. Kiana James pops up. We still haven't seen Dijak. But Kiana.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
James gets introduced. It's fine. I'm interested to see what she does here, but any thoughts on her segment?
She looks like she's doing the same character that she was doing on NXT, because she came in with the purse and she came in very boss-like, and that's she got very, very good at that role. And I feel like it just comes very natural to her. So I have a feeling that they're pretty much going to do the same thing that they were doing with her on NXT, which I liked her on NXT. So
that's one of the things we reported on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. There's going to be a lot more synergy regarding the characters you see on NXT and how they translate to the main roster. And that's why you're seeing more people take off in that regard, as opposed to just coming up cold or not being used at all. So that's good as well. Mr. Cox says Greenville has had some historically terrible shows in the past. Trump versus Rosie, Cena versus Michael Cole. But they gave us a fantastic show tonight. Scored front row tickets at the last minute for my son and I. What a memory. Man, Mr. Cox, I am very happy to hear that. And thank you for sending the Humper Chat. I mean, your kid will never forget that. Never, ever forget that. Like that's honestly how you make fans too, is he takes his kid to a show. His kid just watched a slapper of a match with Gunther and Kofi Kingston that we're about to talk about. He's probably never going to forget it.
Nah, dude, my uncle took me to all the wrestling shows when I was a kid, and I remember all of them. Like, the best memories of my life were going to shows with my uncle.
We had Lillian Garcia there. It was so cool to see both she and Samantha give each other their flowers.
Oh, Samantha looked so happy. She was like fangirling. I loved it.
Yes. I mean, if you ever see Samantha ringside, like she's always geeking out over that stuff. And it's so great. Like she really, really loves it. And this was cool to see because it was Kofi Kingston, who is of Lillian Garcia's generation, and Gunther, who is of Samantha's generation. And they introduced those two accordingly. I love that. I think Samantha Irvin is incredible. Now we got Alicia Taylor, as reported by FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, going to SmackDown, Mike Rome going to NXT. I know a lot of people are like, oh no, he's getting demoted. From what I understand, he's pretty happy about it. It's what I hear. So a good shuffle there. But then we get a kick-ass match. Holy crap. There are few wrestlers that can get me emotionally invested in a match I know they ain't winning, like Kofi Kingston. This guy, I just love it. I knew he wasn't winning this damn thing. I knew there was no chance he was winning this thing. But he made me think that he had a chance in it. Orion Ben said, this is the Kofi I wanted to face Brock. Damn, Vince. Exactly. So for every dipshit on this planet that said, it wouldn't have been realistic if Kofi competed with Brock. Well, guy was world champion for 6 months. And then look at this match. Look at this match right here. because Gunther is every bit as credible and threatening as Brock to me. And this match was killer. This is the exact type of match that I think needs to happen in King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring to let me know this means something. I thought this was a perfect King of the Ring match, Denise.
So what I loved about this match is, again, you mentioned that. So Gunther has been built up to be a monster, to be a beast. Like, I mean, I don't want to say, maybe beast is on top of my head because you just mentioned Brock Lesnar. So now it's up there. But anyways, he is a monster, right? And so Kofi Kingston, right away, when he started this match, didn't even let Gunther take off his jacket. He was like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm not wasting any second here. I got to take this man down or else I'm not going to have a shot because I've seen him take out all of these people. And if I want to make it, I really got to go and give it my all. And so that was sort of the theme that we saw throughout the entire match. And so this was freaking good. But let me tell you, that moment when Gunther like went right into the Boston Crab, it was I don't know how to explain it. He just went for it so freaking fast that it was perfect timing too. You know what I hate, Sean? And this is one of my pet peeves sometimes. There are certain moves where, and it's different, right? It depends on the story of the match and it depends on the move that's being done. But one of my pet peeves is when either someone takes too long to tap out. Yeah, when someone takes too long to tap out, there are certain times where I'm like, oh, yeah, like the moment where they're like, you know, deciding whether or not to tap out. Okay, that's a really exciting moment. But again, depends on the match and depends on the move that we're seeing. But there are other moments that call for an instant tap because you just know it. That's the moment you freaking tap and that's it. And this was one of those situations where the timing was really nicely done where Kofi Kingston tapped right away and you felt it and they didn't waste an extra second, you know, trying to stall the tap. So it's little things like that that just go a little further. And so for me, this was a really good one. And I agree with what the person said about the match that could have been there with Kofi and Brock.
We got Bron Breakker backstage. Adam Pearce says, you know, I didn't want to throw him into the fire, the King of the Ring. And I'm like, that's bad GMing on like, that's horrible GM work there. Brock Lesnar got thrown to the fire in King of the Ring. Worked out for him. Bron Breakker said, you wouldn't be throwing me to the fire. You'd be throwing them to the fire. Bron Breakker killed this promo. He did great. Which is so hilarious because you and I have both interviewed the man.
Stop it. And listen, I don't even want to remember.
I love him in the ring as a character, and it just translates. It translates really, really well to his promos. I buy every single thing this guy says, Denise.
All right. Well, first of all, I got to say that I'm really hating everything that's happened post-draft for Bron Breakker. I was already upset during the draft at how dumb it looked that Nick Aldis spent of these fucking weeks, oops, my bad, spent all of these freaking weeks trying to get Bron Breakker and they were all fighting for him. Even, you know what? This is even dumber now, actually, now that I think about it. So it's dumb on Nick Aldis's part to not draft him after he wasted all this time. But Adam Pearce was also fighting for him. He'd seen all of the squash matches. He'd seen everything that he was doing on SmackDown, and he wanted him too. And then he got him. Okay, great. You know what? Good for him. But then you don't want to throw him into, what did he say? Throw him into the deep or whatever fire. In the tournament? Throw him into the water. Fire.
Yes.
And whatever.
Deep waters.
What are you talking about, Adam Pearce? You were fighting for this man. Why would you be fighting for a guy that you wouldn't throw into the King of the Ring? And clearly, in storyline wise, you would think that the GMs watch the other person's show. We had weeks of Bron Breakker going out there and just like killing men in 10, 15 seconds or whatever. So it makes him look dumb as a general manager that he didn't trust to put one of his biggest guys and one of his best gets from the WWE draft in the tournament. I'm sorry, but I'm not a fan of what this little dance has been like since Bron Breakker was drafted over to Raw. I thought it made Nick Aldis look dumb, and now I think it made Adam Pearce look dumb.
I'll tell you what makes you look smart. Nord!
How many times have you seen it? A big-name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Jonathan Corona says, I know Denise and Luis know Estadio Azteca. I'd like to see WWE or AEW do a pay-per-view because that stadium holds 87,523 people. So a stadium, 100,000 people. Luis does say, the only issue with that is they are booked every single week, so finding a slot may be very difficult.
All I know, and I don't care where it's done, I just want to see WWE and or AEW do a pay-per-view in Mexico. And Sean, I want you to go to Mexico so you can come with me and we can go eat street tacos and I don't know.
I went to a Mexican grocery store today, a mile from my house.
What? What was it called?
So, I can't remember what it was called. But
a Mexican grocery store in Kentucky. Well, it's Louisville. What is where do you live again?
Lexington.
You live in Lexington. Gigantic.
It's a gigantic Hispanic community out here. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, gigantic. I can imagine.
Listen, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, Denise. That's the way
I'm sorry. I find it very hard to believe.
Why is it hard for you to believe?
There's probably like five and you're like Denise, it's gigantic.
That is fine.
I'm kidding.
That is not the way it works.
Tell me about the Mexican market you went to.
Oh, I went there because it's the only place I can get like glass bottle Pepsi because they don't sell it anywhere else.
Well, how about this? Next time I will show you what products to buy so that you can make some awesome food.
Okay. Chad Gable meets with Ivy Nile. He had told Maxine she couldn't train with Ivy. And Ivy wasn't happy about that, but he had some kind words for Ivy Nile. Later on, we saw Braun talking to her as well, but we'll get to that momentarily. Bronson Reed beat Tozawa's ass, and then Sami Zayn defeated Otis, who basically was coached out of winning a match and had tried to do the worm and all that stuff. Gable afterwards disrespects Otis and Sami Zayn attacks, but man, like Pat McAfee tearing Gable a new one. He's like, terrible person, terrible coach. He's a bad coach. I kind of like this. He's a shitty coach type of storyline. Like we see coaches in the NBA get fired all the time. Like what motivation would Otis have if the guy is physically, verbally abusing him and he ain't coached him to any victories either. I'm liking the direction that this Gable thing's going.
I know. And I like that he's blaming them because they're the ones not getting the wins. They're the ones losing and taking no responsibility as the said coach. So Chad Gable slapping Otis, by the way. Ooh, it's stuff like this, right? Because how long have the Alpha Academy been together now? What, 2 years? I don't know.
Yeah.
Clearly, I have no time perception of time.
Years,
but
yeah, two or three years.
2-3 years. Okay, they've been together for a long time. There's been a lot of memories, a lot of good times. Chad Gable was one of the most lovable characters on Raw. And so for there to finally be this moment where he's not and he slaps the man, he slaps one of his closest friends, it hurts. It stings a little bit. And it's been a while since we've had something like that.
And the crowd was like, chanting for Otis afterwards, and he was reacting. Ooh, he's going to be good in that role. Mr. Acosta says, I think we get Braun versus Sammy for the IC title after King of the Ring. That is one of my like most anticipated singles matches right now. Braun Breaker, rather, being him and Sammy playing the underdog. Ooh, I think that'd be really good. We got Carlito speaking backstage with Judgment Day, and I love that Damian Priest doesn't trust him. Damian Priest is not letting backlash go from last year. Not the most recent backlash, from last year. He's like, no, I don't trust you. And Carlito is trying to change his mind. And he's like, listen, if these two dudes want to mess with you, they're adults. They can do that, but not me. I got no love for you. We also see JD McDonagh backstage confronting Braun Strowman, which is just hilarious to see. I don't like Braun just backstage being like, oh my God, look how big your guns are and all that stuff. That's not the Braun Strowman I want. I want Braun Strowman throwing Roman Reigns off a loading dock on a stretcher and turning over semi trucks and tearing up the Titantron. That's the Braun Strowman I like. Now, he is a charismatic guy, but this one ain't it for me.
I don't know. I don't think I care. I don't think I care to love it or dislike it. I'm indifferent towards it. It's just there. It's just the thing that I'm seeing on the show. It did throw me off because what is Braun Strowman up to? So he recently came back. He had the moment with Patrick Mahomes. Oh my God, by the way, the freaking clip that you shared. I hate you so much for it because now all I do is walk around my house going, I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm here. 24/7.
Shout out to the OG that did that years ago that got that the traction. But my God.
What is going on?
Somebody was like, Sean, why do you hate him so much? And I'm like, because he's good. That's why I hate Patrick Mahomes. He's good at football. I don't like anybody else that's good at football besides the Bengals. That's it.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay, so what's going on with Braun Strowman? He comes
get
out.
These hands.
Get what is them. He doing? Like, who's Braun Strowman right now? What am I supposed to know about Braun right now? What's he doing?
He's large.
That's it. Okay, fine. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to think.
Braun.
I have nothing to add to Braun Strowman right now.
Finn Balor and JD McDonagh defeated AOP, Creed's New Catch Republic. Thanks to Carlito doing a backstabber on the table.
That's the best thing he's done since he's came back,
Why would you do it on the table? That's the dumbest shit.
I don't know, but it's the best thing he's done.
The promo was the best thing. I thought the promo backstage was. Why would you do it on the table? I don't get it.
You want it to be fancy?
It's no DQ, so you could do it any damn place. But yeah, just do it on the table and mess yourself up, I guess. But the match was great. It was a stunt show is what that was. And when you've got 2, 4, 6, 8 people in this match, you can have a stunt show. There's no psychology in downtime in a match like this. It can be what it was. And that's what it was supposed to be. It needed to be a stunt show on this match or on this card. And it was, a damn good one. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. I don't know. I didn't necessarily need Judgment Day back in that spot. I mean, I could see them winning the tag titles back. Honestly, I could see that happening. At least with Balor and McDonagh, it's a little bit of a different thing. They basically do twin magic here because they look exactly alike. It's just the ref is going to go, one of your heads is way bigger than the other
one. Okay, first of all, no. Finn Balor looks nothing like JD McDonagh. They do not look alike at all.
Well, Denise.
Oh, that's right. You're going to put the picture up, huh? Okay, but that's not even like a real, I'm talking like a real image of them.
Sorry. There you go.
Okay. Anyways, I'm just going to say it. I did not want to see Finn Balor and JD McDonagh win this. When they won and they said number one contenders, I was like, damn it. Why? Why? We were just there, Sean. I was ready to move on. I still am. I'm sorry. This match was so much freaking fun. I did not care for Finn and JD winning, though. But all I want to say, though, I want to take a second to put over the New Catch Republic because everything they touch is gold. Every match they're in, they're like Rumpelstiltskin, man. They just make gold everywhere. Read Rumpelstiltskin? It's been a while since I've read the book. But they are so freaking god. And they make every match they're in so much more better. They made everybody else look even extra better than what they are. This was the best I've seen the Authors of Pain since they came back. The Creed brothers, I love the Creed brothers. So there's another one. The Brutus Ball that Brutus does, phenomenal. This match was so much freaking fun. But the New Catch Republic, though, they're on another. They should have won. Them or the Creed brothers should have won this. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. We got Jonathan Corona saying WrestleMania in Mexico. That would be lit. I think WrestleMania is going to stay North America, South America. If they could do like 100,000 somewhere in Mexico, then they would consider it.
I just don't know how much they would charge for tickets over there. Like, would they make money?
Right. How would they make money, but they wouldn't make nearly as much.
Right.
I mean, right now, UFC and WWE, the gates are insane. Like, for this Conor McGregor show, it's insane. For like, they didn't do a site fee in France, and they made a ton of money. But Carlito celebrates with Judgment Day backstage. He tells Damian Priest he will change his mind. We've got Liv confronting Lyra Valkyrie, who says, by the way, she's going to have Becky's back. Then Liv talks a bunch of trash. She goes, is Becky always this much of a bitch? And then she's like, well, why don't you ask her yourself? And there's Becky right behind her. Becky and Lyra both win matches. Lyra beats Zoe Stark. They are pushing Lyra very hard, getting promos, getting interactions with Liv and Becky, winning her match against Zoe in the Queen of the Ring quarterfinal, making saves for Becky against Damage Control as well. I felt like some of the match with Becky and Dakota, you could tell they weren't on the same page at the start of it, but a lot of this was one, get Becky a win ahead of Queen of the Ring, get Lyra ahead in this tournament, and then further establish this connection of Becky and Lyra. And we haven't necessarily seen Becky with somebody like this. She's been a loner for a long time. Now she's got one of her own and it's working out pretty well. And so far, so good. You got the crowd doing the crow call and stuff for Lyra. It's working out so far, Denise.
Yeah, it definitely is. She had, what was it, 3 segments today, a little bit of everything that she did. She had the, like you mentioned, the run-in, the match, the backstage segment. This is exactly how fast we saw Lyra move on NXT, and now we're seeing it happen on the main roster. And I had hoped that, again, what they did with Zoe Stark, when she came in, I was hoping that we would see the same thing for Lyra, but with Becky Lynch, and it looks like that's definitely what we're getting based off of what we saw here today. But she had some really good little crowd reactions from people. I mean, there was people that were really, really rooting for her, and you don't often see that all the time for the NXT people. So I was happy that people knew what to chant for her song. People were cheering for her. People were impressed. I think that Lyra is going to take a lot of people, like win a lot of people over that aren't already familiar with her. And so this was definitely the perfect way to present her. And I was a little bit surprised that Lyra won her match because, again, I wasn't sure. Are they going to push her the same way they were pushing her before? Are things going to be different on the main roster? Like, what's the plan here? And so seeing them have her make it so far in the tournament is a really, really good sign. And I think that she's very trustworthy because she's a good wrestler and she's got a good presence. She's a good talker too. And she's going to grow and get better, of course. But I think that she already has a lot of she already checks a lot of the boxes that they need her to.
Rock Hard Joel Wood says the differences between this Queen of the Ring tournament and the last one are night and day. Thrilled they're getting time to tell their stories. Well, they have a competent person running the creative right now. And that goes a long way when that happens. Tim says, I can see Becky losing to Liv. Then Becky and Lyra form a tag team to get the tag titles. That's when if Becky re-signs, though. If Becky does not have the biggest contract in women's wrestling history, I'd be surprised. Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. We'd appreciate it. Subscribe, FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Oh, yeah. Also, that punch that Becky gave Liv. Woof. It was bad. It was so bad. Becky is better than that.
I guess it was just I don't know. I don't know what happened, to be honest. I don't know what went wrong. But I saw that and I was like, oh, that's different.
Reminder, guys, FightfulSelect.com. I mentioned a little bit earlier, I did the Backstage Report podcast today, 30-plus minutes. We're adding a lot of additional Q&As, like Corey Brennan has been doing some, Alex and Kate, Jeremy and Joel, all that good stuff. Make sure you check it out. Just $5 a month gets you access to more exclusive wrestling news than anywhere in the world. Accurate, straight to your phone or your computer before anybody else gets it. You can do Q&As with us, and we've got a Discord. If you're sick of Twitter, sick of Facebook and all that stuff, that's where I'm at primarily these days. Backstage, Gunther runs into Ilya after Ilya cuts his promo. And like it, what I like is you think this is foreshadowing, and it kind of is, but it's not. Not immediately, because Ilya doesn't win his match over Jey Uso, who was a late replacement. So what I like is they are setting the stage for down the line and referencing something that happened in the past, but it didn't telegraph the winner. I like that. It made the outcome of this main event a lot more interesting to me. Denise, what did you think of them meeting up before we talk about the match?
Yeah, so I was not expecting Gunther to just pop up right then and there. So that one kind of got me like a little bit of a gasp type of moment. But I was actually happy that we didn't get to see Gunther, Ilya in this tournament, because when that happens, I want it to be special, you know, because of their history and their matches that we've seen of them. I want it to be special when they meet once again on the main roster. And so I'm glad that it didn't just happen in this King of the Ring tournament. I need to see that on a grand stage, because they deserve it given the stories that they, the freaking, my God, the work that they have done together. They need to, have it mean a lot more once it happens on the main roster.
Get in your super chats and humper chats. We're heading down the home stretch. Jey Uso defeated Ilya Dragunov. One of the issues I have had for a while with wrestling cable TV shows are all the results are foregone conclusions. That has not been the case of late for these King of the Ring matches. Like they had me thinking, oh, damn, is Shayna pulling this off? Are they going to push Lyra this early? Jey Uso and Ilya Dragunov, I was like, okay, they just teased Gunther and Ilya. Gunther is in the next round. And then Jey Uso beat him, and it was a hell of a match. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business reported this weekend. They are looking to try to keep up that backlash atmosphere with Jey Uso. They've been pushing it on TV. That's a slippery slope with WWE, because sometimes when you push it, it makes it not cool. But Crazy says, I don't care. That's L booking. Dragunov should have won. How did you feel about Dragunov not winning, even though it was main event? It is King of the Ring, and Jey Uso is a big star in WWE.
I think Jey Uso is definitely the right call. One, because I want to see Ilya and Gunther on a bigger stage and not in the King of the Ring tournament. And two, I think that Jey Uso, I mean, come on, Drew McIntyre poked a joke at him in the beginning of the show, basically saying he's always losing. If that wasn't a big giveaway that he was winning today, I don't know what is. And so him actually winning this match was, I didn't feel like it wasn't believable. I felt like it was believable when he got the victory. And so I think they got it right with Jey Uso winning. I think he was the right call. And you need to, he's gotten so over in such a different way, because obviously he was part of the Usos and it's part of the bloodline. He already was over, but now, as you know, it's just me, Us, he's getting over in a different way. But I think that now people want to actually see him win. And when we finish this whole time, I've been thinking Gunther's winning this whole entire tournament. Gunther, right? That's been the whole thought process. There was a little seed of doubt in me afterwards. Like tonight, I started to think, oh my God, what if Jey Uso is actually defeating Gunther and winning the King of the Ring? And so there's this tiny, tiny seed of doubt in me. And I like that. I like that they planted that seed there. It makes me feel a little bit more excited that anything can happen in the finals of the King of the Ring, or semifinals rather.
I see a lot of people really upset over Ilya losing, and I'm like, man, he's losing to a person who has been involved in top storylines, who was teaming with Cody Rhodes, who, I mean, he's main evented pay-per-views. Like, this is not, it's not the end of the world. Macho Man Randy Savage used to prefer to be beat clean because you win them in the ring, you lose them in the ring, and if you're good enough, you'll get over and stay over accordingly.
I'm Flaming, like the biggest Ilya fan, and I had no problem with it at all.
Mr. Acosta says, do people really want Gunther Ilya on Monday for free 99? Jay needed this win because he needs King of the Ring more than anyone. So I got to agree with that because I see a lot of these rematches of classic matches on Raw, and I'm like, listen, a good Raw match can exist of its own. But if it's following up an all-time classic match and then you've got to sit through two commercial breaks, that ain't it for me. That's going to be hard. That's going to be an uphill battle. Will says, Jey Uso with the bloody ear. That's what happens when you face the Mad Dragon. And Flame Inc. says, lost my job back in October. Got a new one. Hope it works out. Wish me luck. Well, we may not agree. I respect you guys, FTF. Hey, that's what it's all about. Just be respectful about it. We're good to go.
Man, I haven't heard FTF in a while. We need to bring that back. Well, Sean, you need to bring that back.
Oh, man. Why do I need to bring it back? It's run its course.
Bring it back. Listen, we like nostalgia.
If you guys want to go to the WrestleTalk shop and buy a bunch of FTF shirts, I would happily take another royalty payment from WrestleTalk in that regard. But Flame Inc. says, SRS, you and Cornette live near each other. Have you ever thought about doing an interview with him? Think it would be a mill view interview. Probably not. I mean, here's the reality about Jim Cornette and interviews. He doesn't need to do interviews. He's got a podcast that he talks on multiple times a week. That's why, like, when people ask me, oh, will you do this podcast, that podcast? And I'm like, well, if it's like Chris Van Vliet or somebody like that, then sure, if they can help us grow our channel. Otherwise, I'm on like 5 or 6 shows a week. What the hell else do I have to talk about? I've only reached out to Jim one time, and it was for the Muhammad Hassan article that I did. And I think I probably reached out to him in 2015 for that. And he got back to me briefly, but we couldn't make anything work. And other than that, we don't really interact or anything like that. But no, I haven't. Like I said, I don't think he's got any real motivation to do an interview like that. He's got his own shows. But guys, thank you all so much for sending all the super chats, humper chats. A couple things I want to plug. I had an interview with Missa Kate that dropped on Sunday. I interviewed Gabe Kidd. If you have not ever watched a Gabe Kidd interview, me and him, he loves doing interviews with Fightful. I love interviewing the guy. He's one of my favorite people to interview. He promotes matches like nobody else. Last week, we talked to Rocky Romero about Stardom and Forbidden Door, about CMLL, New Japan, AEW, Jack Perry. Please go check out that interview. Rocky Romero is one of the best, like most insightful interviews. Gabe Kidd's one of the most entertaining interviews. Rocky Romero is one of the just best interviews in general. We got more coming up this week. And after a month, me and Jimmy are finally back doing the hump on Wednesday. N. Simmons says, I think Jey Uso should have won and needed the win. He's lost a lot of big moments. Did think Ricochet was going to interfere because of the backstage interaction. Yeah, there was that backstage interaction from Ricochet, which wasn't listed on our run sheet here. But I want to see Ricochet get a little bit of an edge as well. Any final thoughts on that and Ricochet as well?
No, I didn't really think he was going to run in or anything like that. So I actually didn't see it that way. But he looked good, though. I liked his glasses. I liked his suit. I liked his chain.
Denise, where can the people find you?
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. That's the place to be. I post a bunch of stuff. And yeah, that's about it. That's all I've got going on at the moment.
Guys, thank you all so much. It's been a full week since I've been back. It's been great to be back. I want to thank you all so much for being understanding when I've been absent and the like, but we are back at it right now. Going to take the summer off of traveling, I believe, the next few months at least, and then I'll be back at it. I think SummerSlam, Cleveland. You going to Cleveland, Denise?
I don't know if I'm going to Cleveland, but I am going to Glasgow. So I'm very excited because I've never.
Wow, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to do different things. And that's one of them because I realize, well, my dream, and you know this, Sean. I mean, before I was starting with Fightful, I was like travel blogging.
Yeah.
And so I am using now these opportunities, these work opportunities to like go and see places that I've never seen.
Guys, thank you all so much. Check out Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian on Tuesday morning. Joel Pearl and Jeremy Lambert have an interview with Billy Corgan out now. Check that out. Until next time, we're out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.